Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the day when we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But because we focus so much on the second person of the Trinity, on being saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is often the forgotten person of the Trinity. And in some ways that's very unfortunate, because the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary for our redemption, for our reception of and our being kept in the one true faith. Luther sums that up in his explanation to the third article of the Creed, saying, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." We are absolutely dependent upon the work of the Spirit through God's word for our life and salvation. So how does the Holy Spirit come to us? How is this Holy Spirit poured out upon us? How is the Holy Spirit poured out upon the disciples on that day of Pentecost? The outpouring of the Spirit occurs during the festival known as the Feast of Weeks. It's one of the three pilgrimage festivals when Jerusalem would once again be crowded with pilgrims. Peter and the others have returned to Jerusalem, and at Jesus' instructions have remained in Jerusalem. They've remained in the city until they received power from on high. And now on this day of Pentecost, the ordinary activities of this festival become extraordinary. Luke writes, they were all together in one place, and suddenly, without warning, there was no rattles or shaking and things moving across the floor because the ground started to shake and the house was shaking. It's just suddenly, no buildup, just boom. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind filled the whole house. If these disciples had been wondering what it would look like when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they don't wonder now. This is unmistakable. They see what seem to be tongues of fire that separate and come to rest on each one of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I can't imagine what that would have felt like. To find yourself suddenly talking in a different language by a power not your own. The Pentecostal movement of the early 20th century and the charismatic movement of the 1970s were really spawned by the desire to receive the Holy Spirit in the same way as Peter and these disciples did here in Jerusalem. And speaking in tongues became the sign that you had received that baptism, that you had indeed had your own Pentecost experience. Based on my experience in connection with folks in the charismatic movement of the 70s, I wouldn't dismiss the speaking in tongues as nonsensical gibberish. But in public gatherings, there had to be an interpretation. Paul talks about that in his first letter to the church in Corinth. Paul tells us that if there is no interpretation, then no one is edified. The church is not built up. If there is no interpretation, then the speaking in tongues becomes a self-serving activity. And that's contrary to the purpose of these gifts given by the Spirit. Spiritual gifts that God gives are for the benefit of others. They're to be used in service to others and are intended to open doors to sharing the good news of salvation through faith in Christ with those who have not yet heard. And we see all of that taking place here. what happens to this, to the disciples in the room where they were staying was all indoors. It was out of public view. But it didn't go unnoticed. God-fearing Jews staying in Jerusalem heard the sound. They heard the disciples speaking in other tongues, and a crowd gathered. They were amazed and bewildered because they each heard them speaking in their own native language. And if we wanted to stay here for a really long time today, we could ask the question, which was the greater miracle? The speaking in tongues or the hearing? But we'll save that for another day. Looking at the list that Luke records, there were at least 15 different languages being spoken by folks who were all from Galilee. And that was an intention getter for sure. But we still need to understand that these disciples weren't filled with the Holy Spirit and enabled to speak in other tongues so that they could be somehow set apart, separated from all those folks who didn't have the same kind of experience. They were moved by the Spirit to speak in other tongues for the sole purpose of gathering into the family of God all those who did not yet know about salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Here in Jerusalem, with the speaking of tongues, came the interpretation. All who heard the disciples speaking in their own native tongue heard them declaring the wonders of God, specifically the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So if we might be longing for God to work today in such an unmistakable way, that would certainly be an attention getter, draw people to us. Notice what Luke records next. Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." They were made fun of. The disciples were dismissed as drunkards. Again, an example, if you can't discredit the message, then you attack the messenger. I'm pretty sure that many of us here today have had that kind of experience where people made fun of you because of what you believed, because of the truth you spoke and confessed. Maybe some even have had the experience of hostility, being dismissed as silly or crazy or some other negative label in order to silence you or at least put you and your message in the category of myth or fable or just an outright lie. And those are not comfortable times. Those are trying places to be. And it's hard to resist the temptation to just close your mouth and walk away, to get away from that kind of antagonism. So now we come to the necessity of the Spirit's work. Certainly the Spirit empowers us, as it did Peter and the others, to be bold in our proclamation and confession. The Spirit is our strength and shield against such hostility. But He also gives us the words to speak the truth in love to those who make fun of or are hostile to us or try to shut us up. In response to those who accused the disciples of being drunk, Peter stood up and spoke. He explained that what they were seeing and hearing was a fulfillment of God's word spoken through the prophet Joel centuries before. Peter is really telling them that the last days have come. The promise that God spoke through Joel has come to pass in their hearing, in their seeing. They are witnesses of the outpouring of the Spirit. God has poured out His Spirit on everyone. so that the news of salvation through Christ could be known. The Word of God, made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, has returned to the Father. This is post-ascension. But he didn't return to his Father without accomplishing the purpose for which he was sent. By his perfect life, by his sacrificial death, and by his victorious resurrection, Jesus satisfied all the demands of God's law for perfection. He also suffered the penalty that the law demands for anything less than perfection, the penalty of death because Adam ate the forbidden fruit. By Jesus' death, he paid sin its wage. That debt has been removed. By his saving work, we are forgiven. We are restored to God. His disciples had their sins paid for and were restored to God. And so, having accomplished the purpose for which he was sent, the Son of God returned to the Father. But he didn't abandon his disciples. And he was not left without a witness. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, his disciples proclaimed that good news of salvation. The Spirit came to ensure that by his work, through God's word, the message of salvation through Jesus' saving work might be heard and believed, so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So how does that work now? How does that the Holy Spirit come to us? Just as shared with the children this morning, later on in this same proclamation, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." That promise is for us. When we were baptized, we received the Holy Spirit. God was at work through his word to unite us together with Christ in his death and life, in his saving work. But we also received the Holy Spirit, the same one who calls, gathers, enlightens, and keeps us, now dwells in us. The Spirit is the one in us who is greater than the one who is in the world. God's Word and the sacraments, especially the Lord's Supper, are the means through which the Holy Spirit now works to keep us steadfast in the true faith. He calls and gathers us together in this community we call the church, so that he can, as Luther explains, daily and richly forgive all my sins and the sins of all believers. And we clearly see that in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Christ joins himself to the bread and wine so that he can meet us at his table and strengthen us and our faith to assure us that our sins indeed have been forgiven. But it's the Holy Spirit who is at work to give us ears to hear Jesus' invitation. It's the Spirit that works through Jesus' words of invitation, that gospel announcement that tells us Jesus has given himself to us, his body and blood, for the forgiveness of our sin. The Holy Spirit calls and enlightens us through that gospel proclamation to help us see and know that Jesus speaks that invitation to us, that there is indeed a place for each one of us at his table and in his house. And after spending that time with Jesus at his table, in his house, being filled and strengthened, the Holy Spirit then goes with us out into the world to be the church out there, to proclaim the good news of salvation in Christ out there, to our family, to our neighbors, wherever we might meet them, and trust that the Holy Spirit will be at work through that gospel we share to accomplish the purpose for which he was sent. The Holy Spirit, again, is at work through us to call, gather, and enlighten all who still wander in the dark. He is at work to bring us all into the light of Christ and the salvation he shares through the forgiveness of sins, so that he might keep us in that gift, in faith, until that last day when he will raise us up and welcome us into the full reality of God's house and the victory celebration that is our, that is God's gift to us through the body and blood of His Son. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen.